Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
We met this week with Paul and Monica Zanardo. Sorry, Paul. And they're pastors in Crow's Nest down in Sydney at Lighthouse Church. And they're good friends of ours. We've known them for a number of years. And we just felt to reach out to them and because they're more local. We love Steve and we love talking to him on the phone. But you know, it's not quite as same as being face-to-face, is it, with a coffee over a table. And so we met with them and we spoke the things of God. And it's an interesting thing as Paul started to talk about the things that he was teaching on and talking about the things that he's just written a book, actually. And so I'm really excited about that. I'll probably buy the book and read it. I love reading books. So, but the things that we talked about were interesting because they're things that we've been talking about and they're things that have been happening in our church. There have been the same things have been happening in their church as happening in our church. You know, the same things that he's been putting on his Facebook post, I've been putting on mine, maybe worded differently, but it's the same ideas, the same concepts. And it was amazing to see just a unity of spirit. God is speaking something across the body of Christ. And it's the same thing. It's the same voice. It's the same word that's been spoken of. And not everybody wants to hear it. And not everybody wants to listen to the voice of God. Some people are so they're more keen to listen to the voices of man and to follow after men. Please don't follow me. I don't need any people following me. If you ever start following me, I'll point you in one direction, this direction. I'd rather you be pointing to Jesus. I will always point you to Jesus. I will always point you to the Father God, never to me. I'm a man. I make mistakes. But God, you can be confident in him. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what's going down, God will be God. And God will have his way. Maybe could we have that aircon off? It keeps blowing my Bible. Yeah. Look, to say the least, the last several months have been challenging, haven't they? I think that it might be a bit of an understatement to say that they've been challenging. However, this I know, God is still on the throne. We cannot and will not give up. We will not give in, and I am not impressed by the schemes of the devil. I'm more interested in what God is doing and what God wants to do in your life. I don't want a big church. I'm not interested in a big church. I want big people, strong people, people who are willing to carry what Jesus has given them to carry so that we can make a difference. Not just here in our community, but in Australia and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We might be small, but we've got a big heart. And we're going to do it, church. It's going to happen. So I'm not concerned about those things. I don't look at what the enemy has done to attack. I look at what God's doing to rebuild. I listen for and actively seek the voice of God. And I hope you are doing that too. I hope that you are listening for the voice of God. There's lots of voices talking, let's face it. But the voice of God is that small, still, quiet voice. It's not often the shouting voice. I do shout sometimes. But when God's talking, it's often just that small, still, quiet voice. just go this way. Or he'll say something like this, just stand. Just stand. And when God gives you words like that, you think, oh, great. What's about to happen, Lord? And he often won't tell you, because if he told you, you wouldn't go. So he doesn't tell you, but you go through the fire. And we sit in the fire like Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego. And when Nebuchadnezzar came to them and said to them, you will bow down to us. They said, you know what? Whether God delivers us from the fire or not, we will not bow down to a man. I'm sorry. No. Boom, boom. So they picked them up and they threw them in the fire. We know the story. And they didn't burn. And the people saw it was hot because the people that threw them in died. And they said, there's somebody else in there with them. He looks like the Son of Man. We know who that was, don't we? It was Jesus in there with them. And when he called their name and said, come forth, Meshach, Radshak, and Abednego, they came out of the fire as if they had not even been in it. There was no smoke on their clothes. Because they did what was right. And church will continue to do what's right. End of story. We'll follow hard after God. He will build his church. Stop being emotional. He will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's too many Christians who think that the devil's going to come in through the front door, kicking it in, and they're going to have to sneak out the back through the rapture. It's wrong thinking, church. We're supposed to go and kick the gates of hell in. Rip the gates off the walls. And go in and take out the captives. That's our job. Give no place to the devil. None. Rip the gates off his kingdom. And pull everyone out. Leave not one soul left for him. Not one. That's the will and the purpose of God. When we're listening for God's voice, what is God saying to you now, today? At this very moment, what is he saying? Not what he said last week or last year or what he might say next 50 years. But what's he saying today? What's he saying in your spirit? What's he saying to you? For me, he just keeps saying over and over again, just stand. Just stand. Just stand. And we will stand. End of story. Do what he says. But you've got to listen to the voice. And what I believe that God is saying for us as a church is what he's always been saying. Arise, shine, and build. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed the mantle. He hasn't changed anything. He's saying the same words that he said to us from the beginning. Arise, shine, and build. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to keep building church. We're going to build this church. We're going to grow you as a people, that you might go and do amazing miracles for God. I can't wait to hear testimonies coming back where you come back and say, man, some guy just dropped dead at work the other day. I prayed for him and he got up. That's awesome. I had this person at work and their arm was all withered up. They had whatever. I prayed for them and they were healed. I had someone come to me at work and they had no toenails, so I prayed for them. Wow, their toenails grew back. That's what it's about, church. It's about healing the sick, raising the dead, getting rid of the devils, and restoring people's lives back. It's not in the power of our words. It's in the demonstration of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not by might, not by power, but it is by his Spirit. So I believe that God's still saying, arise, shine and build. God hasn't changed his mind. He loves this people that call themselves Central Life Church. And he loves you. He loves me. He loves us who are willing to stand. We have stood as a church the test of time. We have placed deep roots down by his Spirit. The bedrock of our soul is Jesus the Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we have been personally seeking his voice, God's been bringing up various scriptures to us. This is one of them, out of Isaiah 61 and verse 4, if you've got your Bibles. So in Isaiah 61 and verse 4, God says this, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. About a year ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, there was a large, let's call it a dam, a water dam, but it was empty, and it was huge. It was a big basin, and there was four white pillars in the dam. And the four white pillars were churches. And we were one of those. We were meeting in one of those pillars as a church. And God spoke to me in the dream and said, the water is coming. They need to leave those pillars. And so I went to the people in the church, and there was various people in the church, and I went and spoke to them all and said, we've got to get out of here. If we don't get out of here, we're going to drown. And the people, and this figuratively, of course, and the people said to me, no, we're happy here. We're happy here doing what we've always done. And I said, you can't stay here. The water's coming. You'll drown. No. So I took a remnant of those people, and we went up the side of the dam, and we stood on the lip of the dam, and the water came flooding in. It flooded in, and the whole dam filled to the lip, to the top of where the four pillars had stood. And then we built a church upon the water. How weird is that? And we walked to and from church on the water. I believe that God is going to build a church on the supernatural, upon on his, what he is doing, not on what we're doing. It's great for us to be able to meet in buildings and things, and I love that too, and I would like to continue to meet here. But I think that God's going to build on something very different moving forward. And it won't be on bricks and mortar as we know it. It will be on the water, on the Spirit. Whenever you see the water represented, or the oil, water or oil represented in Scripture, it is always the Spirit of God. God's going to build something new on his spirit. And it will be just like walking on water. It'll be completely and absolutely by faith. I've said it before. You start seeing miracles in the house of God, people will come. Because people have need. They will come. You start laying hands on the sick, church, and they start being healed. They will ask you the question, how did that happen? And you'll say, by the power of Jesus. It's a simple gospel. We complicate it. What's interesting is that God is still confirming his church. He's confirming what we're doing. He's confirming where we're going. And we received this email this week, unsolicited, completely unsolicited. It came out of the blue from Jan Dwyer. Anyone of us remember Jan? It came from Jan, and she said, I'll read out the whole thing. She says, Hi, Di. I've been praying for the church, you and I, for church and you, and I got this word. Hope it blesses and encourages you. It's a new day and a new way. The old has gone, the new has come. Before it comes, I will declare it to you. Like my mercies are new every morning, so the new way will be new and fresh for you. P.S. I've been praying weekly for CLC that you hear the voice of the Lord. I love that. Because that's exactly what I've been talking about on Facebook and other things, about hearing the voice of the Father. It's a new day. It's a new way. We've got to have our ears ready to listen for what God wants to do. What next, Lord? Where to next? What are we to do? So how does all this apply to your life or my life? Well, this is not a time to pull back, but to press forward, restoring the things that the enemy has attempted to steal from our lives. Jan's word, it's a new day and a new way. It's a time to move forward in our lives, taking hold of every promise God has given us and pursue its restoration. Until we see the fullness of Christ displayed in us and through this church. So many of us have had our dreams and our passions and our desires just ripped away from us time and time and time again. It's got to stop, church. Those days must end. The days of going through the fire and having to sit in the fire with a smile on your face have to end. We have to come out the other side of the fire like a glazed pot, ready for the Master's use. Sheena told Diane and I back in August of this year that we were going through the fire again. Oh, the joy. Thank you, Sheena. God bless you. But she said it wouldn't be like the fires that you've been through before, that you'd go through this fire and it would be God's last glaze upon you. And she described the glaze in great detail, the blues and the purples and the this and the that, and the, even down to the pattern on the glaze. And she said, but this will be your last firing. And you'll come out of the other side of this exactly how God needs you to be for the future that he has for the church. So I believe that, church. At the moment, I'm sitting in the fire with a smile on my face, knowing that I eventually will come out of the fire and be prepared, be fit for the Master's use. I don't know about you, but I only desire to be fit for his use. But how do we do that? How do we come through the fire unscathed, as if the smoke had never touched us, as if the flames had never licked against us? Well, I want to tell you that most of it's in our minds and our hearts. We can take the things that people say or do into our hearts. And I'm speaking from experience. This week, somebody spoke to me and it broke my heart. It was like a knife through my chest. But I can't take it into my heart. I must forgive them. I must love them. They've got their walk to walk and I've got my walk to walk. God bless them. I bless them abundantly. But I'm called to build a church for God. Amen. And I think we're all here called to that one calling. But it's by faith, church. We call those things that are not as though they are. I was speaking to a young girl a number of years ago and I was talking to her about this scripture and she said, but that would be like lying. You're saying it is when it's not. No, no. The scriptures say by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. So we call those things the not as though they are. We speak by faith. And it's only in faith that we will see the realization of what God really has for us. Because we speak to the invisible realm. It's invisible. Heaven is invisible. Anyone notice that? Heaven's invisible. The realms of heaven are invisible. But we're taught out of the book of Hebrews to reach into the invisible and make it our reality. Because the currency of heaven is faith. You won't receive anything from God if you don't believe. End of story. I'll turn to that scripture. Where is it? Hebrews. Hebrews and I think it's Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God's a rewarder. See, we don't like to read those scriptures, but let's be honest. God rewards you if you will diligently seek him. He's bound by his word. He can do nothing else. He must reward you if you will diligently seek him and seek after his voice and his ways. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added to you. What were those things? Everything that you desire. The desires of your heart are only possible through faith in Christ Jesus. You can't make them happen. You can't will them happen. You can't magic them into being. God is also not your genie. I'll rub my Bible and it'll appear. It's not the way it works. Because it must be born out of faith. And faith brings the fruit. Because that's the way it works. Turn back just a couple of verses to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What was I just talking about? The invisible realm. So it comes from the invisible to the visible. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Can't get anything from God in the natural. It just doesn't work that way. Everything is by faith. End of story. Number two, how does this work in your life? Call back your destiny. Call it back. Just call it back. Don't allow what has been stolen from you to remain stolen. Doesn't have a right to have it, therefore ask for it back. Anything that's been stolen from you, friends, family, loved ones, whatever it may be, finances, whatever, your business, your whatever, your job, it doesn't matter what's been stolen from you. Call it back. He must restore. He knows the rules. Must restore. And we call back our destiny. We call it back by the Spirit of God. His arm is not short that he cannot save. God's not mucking around and neither are we. We're calling it back. We're having none of this stuff going on. We're going to just move on with God. Amen? Call it back. Again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It's important that we diligently seek him. You're not going to get it just by sitting on your hands. Not going to get it if you never open the book. What word have you got for me today, Lord? I am the most stable and of mind and heart and spirit when I am in his word and listening for his voice. And we're probably all pretty much like that. Don't listen, number three, don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Keep our hearts pure before the Lord. Lots of stuff gets said, church. Lots of things will get said about you. A lot of things will be said to you. But you simply cannot take them into your heart. Cannot take the lies of the enemy. See them for what they are. And if you see it as a lie, do not receive it. It's not a bad thing to say, is there any truth in what was said? Could have I done that better? Could have I handled that situation more tactfully, or you know, whatever it may be? That's not a bad thing. But don't take the lies. Don't take things that are saying who they say you are. Because I'm not me anyway. I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. I'm dead. I was baptized. I died in baptism. That Keith is dead. He ain't coming back. You know, zombie walking around. He's gone. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Every day. Every day I'm newer than I was the day before. Every day I walk more in glory than I walked the day before. And I do not take the lies of the enemy to my heart. I can't. They'll kill you. Because that's what they're designed to do. They're designed to stop your ministry, to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Don't believe it. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry. It's okay to be angry. Be angry and do not sin. I was pretty angry this week when somebody spoke to me this week. I was pretty angry. And I probably could have dealt with the situation a tad better, but it hurt me. Do you know what I mean? And when somebody says something to you and it hurts you, or it stabbed you right in the heart, it hurt me. And so I was angry because they hurt me. You understand that? But do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That tells us something. Our anger, our resentment can give place to the devil. We can't go there. We can't afford to go there, church. If we want to change the world for Jesus, we want to bring his kingdom to the earth, we cannot afford that. So, as we're moving out of 2017 into 2018, I would beg you to forgive anybody who's crossed you this year. Anybody that's offended you this year, forgive them. Anybody that said something to you that was not true, forgive them. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Forgiveness just does something. It changes your heart. It might not change them. They may still hate your guts. Won't change them. But it's not meant to. It's for us. Forgiveness is for us so that we can be free. When you forgive, you set yourself free. And we want to be free, amen? Not three, free. Some people are more three than they are free. But anyway. Just believe it's possible. Believe that God is able to do more than you might ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you might ask or think. Not just some. In another place it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has got in store for us. And it's not like we've got to be, we're waiting for it to happen. We're in it, church. It's now. His voice is now. He is now. His kingdom is now. We are living in the kingdom of God. It is expanding across the earth. And it will continue to expand across the earth. China is having a huge revival at the moment. There's something like 100,000 people are being saved daily. I think they might be having revival. If we got 100,000 people saved here on the Central Coast, we'd be having revival, would you say? God's moving by his Spirit. Believe it's possible. Jesus, when he was talking to Mary and to Martha about Lazarus, after waiting 4 days, I love the story. He gets news that Lazarus, his good friend, has died. And he says, oh, okay. The disciple says, well, we should go then. Oh, no, we'll hang here for a few more days. Really? Yeah, he sleeps. Oh, well, that's all right then. He's asleep. He'll get better. Guys, nah, all right, he's dead. He's dead? Well, then shouldn't we go? No, we'll go. But Jesus waits 4 days to go because the Jews believed that the Spirit hung around for 3 days. So he waited for the fourth day so that they would go. The Spirit's gone. It's more than 3 days. See, everything Jesus did, he did for a reason. And so when he goes and he's talking to Mary and Martha, he says this. He says, all things are possible to him who believes. One of my favorite scriptures in the Word. All things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible. And we know the story. He asked Lazarus out. you know, you might not know who you are in God, but you don't have to know that. Just do it. You know, some people came to John the Baptist and they said, "Hey, John, are you the guy that's supposed to come before the Messiah?" "No, not me, mate. Not me." "Oh, okay." They go to Jesus and they say to Jesus, is John the guy?" "Yeah, he's the guy." John didn't know who he was. Did it matter? No, he still did. He knew his function. He still did it. He was doing it even though he didn't know that he was the guy. And sometimes you are that guy and that girl, and you don't know that you're that guy or girl. You don't know who you are. But it doesn't matter. As long as you fulfill the voice of God in your life, that's what's important. I've got about five other messages here, but I'll stick it with those. Just that one today. And, you know, maybe tonight we'll share some things. But, you know, God's building his church. And, you know, if I can leave you with anything for the end of 2017, is please forgive those that have hurt us. Do not take on our offense, because you cannot deal with somebody else's offense. Let me put it to you this way. Say Shane and Diane have an argument. I know, highly unlikely, but say it happens. They have an argument, and Diane's my wife, so I get all offended with Shane. And I go to Shane and I, you know, have a shot at him. I'm in the wrong. I've taken on Diane's offense. That's not biblical. What should have happened is that Diane should have went to Shane, dealt with the stuff, and I should never take on her offense. So don't take on my offense. Don't take it on. Don't take on what you might think I might be offended about, because I'm probably not. And if you do that, the devil will never be able to get a hold on you, because you'll never take on someone else's offense. Don't even take on your spouse's offense. It's not your place. You are individuals. Let your spouse, I would let Diane go and deal with Shane as she needed to deal. She would have to, because I would make her. "Sorry, sweetheart, that's not me. That's not my argument. You go and sort it out." Yeah? And some people won't sort it out, and that's okay too. They just run away, and that's all right too. You've got to let them go in your heart. Do you know what I mean? Just let them go. Bless them, love them, care for them. Hopefully there'll be a restoration of the relationship some point in the future. But, yeah, does that make sense? So for the end of the year, keep pure hearts. Love one another. Care for one another. Give each other a phone call during the break and have dinner or lunch together or things. We're going to have a service tonight. Oh, and next Friday, is it? Next Friday night, we're going to do a worship service, be worship only. People can come up and share and things and testimonies and stuff like that. It should be really exciting. But I want to leave you with this one scripture. It's out of Matthew 5 and verse 8. And it says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I hope you're with me on that one, church. I want to be pure of heart so that I see God, so I hear his voice clearly and accurately, so that we can make a difference on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome day. I'll see you tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact@centrallife.com.au.